Morning, church. It's really good to be back. My name's Anna, and it's really lovely to see all of you this morning. Today's we're going to be looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm really quite excited to bring this message because it's been quite a fun one to prepare, actually. So let's start by reading scripture. So we're going to read 2 Timothy 1, 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear, concise, and as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you hear from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. I want to start by reading something to you, and I want you just to imagine the scene. The wood has been gathered, cut, and carefully arranged. A match was struck, and the small flame was lowered onto the wood. But the wood was slightly damp, as it had been recently raining, so the flame faltered and quickly went out. Another attempt was made to get the fire going, and another, but each time the flame faltered and went out. Eventually, a match was used to set a piece of paper on fire. This produced a much bigger flame and was powerful enough to set the wood on fire. The bonfire roared into life, giving off light and heat. The people gathered around the fire. There was singing and dancing,
storytelling and laughter, eating and drinking. The bonfire was at the centre, the very heart of the gathering. And the Holy Spirit is at the very heart of our Christian life. So we start off in this beginning of 2 Timothy. We start off by seeing how Timothy received the Holy Spirit. Paul had prayed for him, he'd laid his hands on him, and he'd received the Spirit. But in order for that Spirit to really develop and grow in us, because it's a partnership between God and us, we have to undergo character building experiences. And they can be painful, very painful. And a lot of us try and avoid this bit. We'd rather not go through it. We have to, for the sake of us growing. Paul's situation at the time this letter was written, this letter is known as one of the pastoral letters. And Paul was currently, when he was writing this letter, he was in prison. He was in one of his many prison stays. And we know that Paul, throughout his mission and his ministry, endured many, many difficulties. He was shipwrecked. He was persecuted. He was nearly killed. He ended up in prison. He ended up stranded on islands. He had all sorts happen to him as you read the gospel, as he went around the area, getting bigger and bigger as he spread the gospel of Christ. But spread it he did. We also read in Luke that Jesus also, even though he was the Son of God, even though he was sinless and perfect, he also underwent a period of character building. He was sent into the desert, or was led into the desert by the Spirit, and he was tempted. He had 40 days of fasting, and probably by the end of that, he was quite weak, needing nourishment. But he had to endure the persecution of the devil. He was tempted by the devil, and he had to endure that 3 times before finally the devil left him and he began his ministry. We also know that the early Christians were very persecuted. They definitely underwent a really difficult character building experience. But actually, even there are positives, because we know that one of the reasons that the church was able and actually grew was because of that persecution. Because what it actually resulted in was, they'd have a little cluster of Christians in a particular town, and the local authorities, the Roman authorities, would start to persecute them, and they scattered. And they scattered all over the place. They went to all sorts of different towns, and of course, they took the message, they took the gospel with them, and shared it where they were. So it kind of, instead of what the Roman government wanted to do, was to stop this cult, this little virgin group of people, it actually had the opposite effect. It actually spread it wide and far and wide. We know that even today, there are Christians who are under extreme persecution because of the beliefs of the governments that they live under. We know places like North Korea, It's very dangerous. Iran, all of those places, it's very, very dangerous to be a Christian. But what I find quite interesting is that in a lot of those places where there is persecution, the church is actually growing. It seems to be a thing that where there is that persecution, the church actually grows. So although the authorities think, oh, we'll get rid of this cult, these Christians, they don't fall in with our doctrine, with our what we want to indoctrinate our people with, instead it grows. Now, we in this country don't endure that kind of persecution. We're fortunate, you might say. We don't have to worry about losing our jobs because of that. Although, having said that, there are cases now coming up where that is happening. But generally speaking, most of us can go to work, earn a living, and it's fine. But we endure other things. We may have health issues that we have to endure. We may be facing redundancy. We may have a bereavement that we are dealing with. We may have difficulties with housing. There may be situations in our family that are just really difficult to deal with. And this for us causes more of a spiritual dryness. There may be unanswered prayers. You may be praying for something. You may have been praying for a long time and it's never been answered, or it's answered in a way that you didn't really think it would be. We all undergo character building experiences. And this can leave us spiritually dry. It can leave us feeling empty, but we learn through that that God is still there. He's still with us. Even though we might not feel his presence, we might not think he's there, he is actually still there with us. And it builds our character. It builds our faith. And as we grow in our journey with Jesus, our faith grows and becomes more cemented and deeper in our hearts. Now, we all know that when Christ came, he went onto the cross and he was resurrected, and he did a work of salvation for all of us. And he did a work of restoration for all of us. But that work was for everybody, not just in the time that Jesus was alive, but in the time, but for all ages since. But the problem with Jesus being on earth was that actually only a very tiny percent of people saw him in the flesh. Only a tiny percent of people actually experienced him. Today, especially when he was resurrected, we know that there was a group of 500 people that saw him. We know that the disciples saw him. But actually, that was a tiny, tiny percentage of the number of people that have lived then and since. There are 9.1 million people living in London today. Can't imagine that number of people, but there are. There are 8 billion people alive on the planet today. That's a huge number of people. Probably most of us can't imagine a number that big. We can't imagine the number of people there are. And when you consider that, plus all the people that have lived before us, for the last 2,000 years, you've got to add all of them on as well, you're talking about a very, very, very large number of people. And actually, 500 is a drop in the ocean. So how did God get round this? Well, Jesus went back to heaven, and then he sent the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he filled the disciples. We have that lovely scene at Pentecost with the disciples being filled with the Spirit. And of course, they went all over the place and spread the gospel. So Jesus almost became 12, if you see what I mean. It's multiplying. And of course, when they evangelized and people converted to Christianity, the numbers grew and grew. But each time they were converted, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That conversion happens because of the work of the Holy Spirit. It is, I always think of it as a partnership between the person and the Spirit, but actually the Spirit gives us that power to go out and evangelize and to be Christians. Now, one of the things that I looked at when I was at Spurgeon's was this whole idea of being Jesus to people in skin. In other words, with being filled with the Spirit, you can be Jesus to the people around you. I know that is a big challenge because none of us are perfect. We all have some sort of sin in our lives. We're none of us perfect. But that's what we should be aiming to be. Jesus in skin for those around us. We do that through the power of the Spirit, but also through the love of Jesus and the self-discipline. And I think we need to have that power to stand up for Christ, to be that person that shines and people can see Christ in you. The world is a very busy place today with communication. If we think of social media or the television, books, all sorts of things. There's so much communication, and our message has to stand out from all of that. And it's the Spirit that gives us the power to be that person. And we need to use all avenues to be that person, that skin in God. I was reading the other day, now I know it's not part of our doctrine, it's not what I believe in, and it's probably not what you do, but apparently the Roman Catholic Church is thinking of making one young man a saint because he's on social media and he's doing a terrific job of evangelizing through social media. We maybe don't go down the road of sainthood, but what I want you to pick up is the power he's using, the power of that medium to evangelize to the world, to share Jesus with the world. There is still work to be done. God's work, the work of the Spirit, will not be completed until all people groups, all nations, all people groups, all languages groups have heard the message of Jesus Christ, have heard the gospel. And I think of the Bible Society, who are still translating the Bible into languages that haven't been, where it hasn't been translated yet. Not all languages are translated into the Bible yet. There's still a lot of work to be done. And of course, if the Bible isn't translated into a particular language, if people don't go out that can speak that language and tell those people about Jesus, they don't hear about Jesus. So it's a terrific work that I think the Bible Society does in converting the Bible and getting people out to all those little language groups. And I think there's still quite a considerable amount of languages that are still have not heard the gospel, because there needs to be a work of translation. This work will be brought to completion, though. Christ will keep his church on fire, keep that flame burning of the Holy Spirit until all the work is done, until all people groups have heard Christ, until everybody has had a chance to hear that message. And that will go on until the end of time. And then, of course, we will have Christ coming back at the end of time. For us, sitting here today, we need to pray that we are filled with the Spirit, that we have that power, that we are able to be a beacon, a light in the Woodside area and beyond to the whole of Croydon, to share Christ in all the dark corners of the world. There's a lot of darkness. I think there's a lot of need and desperation at the moment. We need to share that message. Over the next 4 weeks, we've had a general election call. There's going to be a lot of people trying to get out there with a message. We will do this if we get into power. We'll do that if we get into power. Our message of the gospel needs to be louder. And it needs to stay being louder as we share Jesus with our community. And we need to do that until the Holy Spirit says the work is done. It's quite a challenge. I know it's a challenge, but let's go for it. I'm going to pray for us as I finish. Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son to earth to do the wonderful work of salvation and redemption. And that, Lord, he came back to be with you, and you sent your Spirit as a gift to us, a gift of power, of love, of self-discipline, of hope, of faith. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit can fan us into flame, that we have the power and the will and the love to go out into our community of Woodside and Croydon and throughout London and beyond to share your gospel. We pray for all the other organisations. We pray for the Bible Society as they do their wonderful work of translation to share your gospel all over the world. And Lord, if we can help them in any way, that we do, Lord. And we pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen.